I got a question for you. How many of you would say that you believe in something so great that you would do anything to make it happen? And there's the reason I say that is we'll be relating to a man who did just that. But think of a time that you believed that whether it's a goal that you can accomplish or anything that you... if you believe anything that puts your mind at ease and say, you know, I could actually do this. And there's a couple men in the Bible that actually did just that. And one of them was Paul, which we know the great conversion. Saul was his former name. And he did something. I love his story because he literally did not a 360, but a 180, complete change of life whenever his blinders came off his eyes and he saw God for who he was. I mean, Paul was a man, he wasn't very liked in the Bible at all because he did so many bad things to so many people. But once he got a hold of God, his life was literally changed upside down. Now, when his life got turned upside down, he had a lot of thinking to do that. This exact same thing that he was persecuting the Christians for doing, now he actually believed in it himself. And he understood why they believed what they believe, which is why the song that the Newsboys sang, We Believe, is part of the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that he is coming back to save us. And so as Paul made this complete life change, and he dealt with some opposition along his way, because as many of you know, that whenever you believe one way, you're probably going to have someone that believes the opposite direction too and are not necessarily on the same side as you. So he had a lot of people that are like, "What, Paul, what are you doing? What made you change from believing in that this is okay to kill the Christians to now turning around and saying, you know what? What they're saying is actually truth." And so Paul is a great man of God once he hit that conversion path. And we all remember the days that we got saved too, that we realized that we can't do it without God, that he is our life. He gets me through difficult times when no one else can. And I can trust and rely on and lean on God to get me through those times of difficulty. Our passage today is going to focus in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Even though our main scripture, which is in your bulletin, verses 13 through 5 and 1, it may seem like it's going to be... a long reading, but this is kind of like the backbone of where that Paul was starting to see the light. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the entire chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways we refuse to practice, cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Now, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit, according to what is written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise with Jesus and bring us with you in the presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary afflicting is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if the tent is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, there's a lot in this passage here to talk about. Exactly. So, this reading itself, as we really focus on verses 13 to 15, and in preparation for this, I was actually thinking about putting a video of someone making a clay pot from scratch. It's pretty amazing, actually, how they make these pots to be a certain design. It takes time to kind of shape and mold the pot to be the final product, in a way. But in this, we're going to find out that, of course, Paul is defending his teaching and preaching in verses 13 through 15. And then that because of who Paul is, he was already a high official, not necessarily those of the, I would say he was over a lot of the Roman guards. So he had a lot of people that looked up to him. Now, the distinction between a temporal versus eternal, because there was this difference that, okay, so you're talking about not a physical building, like a building that we come to each and every day, but a spiritual, like the inward most part of you, your soul, your heart, you as the body of Christ. When we go out there, that we, like BJ has mentioned before, we'd love to invite people into the church, but of course they're not necessarily coming to the church. So we must be the church that reaches out to them and let God let our light shine so that they see that they're like, man, where have you been lately? You look totally different. In verses 13, it's talking about how having that same spirit. That the same spirit is that unity coming together. That obviously people are going to maybe disagree on certain subjects, certain Well, people tend to disagree quite a bit about different things. We may not be on the same page all the time, but if we can come together believing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he did raise from the dead, that people will see that we are one mind and one accord, that which is in verse 13 says, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak. As we tell others about who Jesus is and how he changed us, your testimony actually believes has a lot of weight and impact on the person that you come in contact with, whoever it may be. And your story, it tells a lot. And Paul had the same thing when his life got turned around, as he finally understood what a Christian really meant. And Paul quotes out of Psalms 116, verses 10, which says, I believe, therefore I said, I was greatly afflicted. Because of his opponents, those that have for a long time have been like his enemies, Paul identifies with the psalmist who said that the God heard his cries for mercy and spoke of being surrounded with the cords of death. The psalmist said that God dealt bountifully with him and had delivered his soul from death. And so although Paul has this allusion to Psalms 116, that he actually, scripture relates well to, you may be going through a tough time, but when you read scripture, you realize that scripture related very to the exact same thing that you're going through right now. But Paul also changed this, the psalmist. I believe, this is his word, I believe, therefore I said, I was greatly afflicted. He kind of put himself in there that, you know what, I was afflicted. Now that I'm the one that's being persecuted for the same reason that you, for Christians. And the fact that knowing that he who was raised, the Lord Jesus, will also raise with Jesus. Paul saw that the risen Christ in his Damascus Road experience, that it was at that moment in time he realized that he obviously couldn't find his way around with being blinded. God got a hold of Paul on the Damascus Road. And some of those roads that we travel on are not easy, and we'll probably be going through some things that we may not all experience at the same time either. But knowing this, that he who is raised, the Lord Jesus, will also raise with Jesus, in verse 14, Paul saw the risen Christ in his Damascus Road experience in Acts chapter 9. And that because he knows that Christ's resurrection is real, having seen the Christ on that road, Paul can believe that God will also raise Paul and the Corinthians, Christians, that one day we will all be raised. Our loved ones that are buried right now, when we lay them to rest, one day we'll all be united together in glory. And but until then, we got to continue seeking God and looking for his wisdom, and continue being that, like Tom Green, one of the things that I remember about him is being a prayer warrior and constantly going after the things of God. And Billy Green sharing the gospel when he first got saved. And we all get saved at different points in our lives, that not everyone's going to be saved when they're young or realize who God is or if they even need God at that time. For Tom and Billy Green, it got them later in life, but when it got them, they lived that Damascus Road experience where they shared Christ with everybody. we went out, even with Tom, we went out to eat one day, and he'd be talking to a waiter or a waitress, sharing Christ with whoever is there, because they have found God. And it's just people like them that get that experience, that and sharing it with others openly, with whoever that person may be. We don't know necessarily, and we may not reach the same people either. But for all these things, that for your sake, and you're probably wondering, what are these things that have been given to benefit the Corinthians? It's the first one, of course, is a sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We wouldn't be here in this building. We don't come to church because we don't necessarily. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm trying to get my words together, but basically, as Christians coming together, that's what makes us unite as one. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that Christ died and that He will come back again for us all. And second, is a ministry that Paul suffered late in his ministry, as with all Christians, but as we face this opposition, this persecution, it may not be a physical persecution like a lot of missionaries have faced overseas, but persecution comes in various ways. I mean, and so we will, as Christians, it's not an easy road. If this was an easy road to travel, everybody would be Christians, and they'd all follow the same path. But it's never that easy. And this grace being multiplied through many, many cause the thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. In verse 15, and the purpose of Paul's ministry to the Corinthians might experience grace. And this grace, we talk about grace all the time. I mean, how many times do you forgive someone? 7 times 70? I mean, we probably extend more grace abound. I myself, sometimes I'm too graceful at times because I don't let things bother me. I don't let other people... I just have that graceful attitude that, you know what? It's only temporal, and if I can be a witness into someone's life by sharing who I am and not judge them for who they are. Myself, personally, is I don't want to judge a person by their outward appearance. I want to get to know them. And they may have different beliefs as me, but as I get to know them, we learn their stories, their backgrounds, where they came from. But as Paul experienced this, Paul has experienced personally, his experience was multiplied throughout the land, that others found out about Paul's testimony. And a lot of his family and friends were probably shocked about it, that he met Jesus on a road that no one expected. Verse 16 says that, therefore, do not faint. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, works for us more and more exceedingly in eternal weight of glory. Now, while we don't look at the things which are seen, but things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And here's our goal, that we do not want to faint. Do not give up. It's going to be a long road ahead. We don't know. We never will see the end in this physical world. But when we find out that your neighbor has accepted Christ, or as Pete had mentioned about the Gideons, sharing Christ with someone, that a complete stranger, you just never know. And that brings joy to ourselves that another Christian has joined us on this journey. Now, being faint, it could also mean being faint-hearted, to also face, as a Christian in this today's day and age. I mean, I see it throughout social media, friends that have once dedicated their whole lives to being Christians to now totally opposite from what they are now. And it's like, how do we continue staying encouraged? We got to continue bonding, building each other up, and definitely pray that there's so many Christians that I have known over the years that have decided to walk away from it all. But the scripture even says, do not give up. Keep pursuing on. And there's going to be a lot of people out there that can put on a good show. You'll see it on their outward appearance. But on the inside, they're hurting because of maybe something happened to them in the past. Now, as Paul had mentioned about comment about his outward man decaying, we have also seen that the ravage of time, that an old age isn't an old expression, I guess you can say, old age isn't for sissies. I read that somewhere. But as we grow older, bodies begin to change, and even myself, I may look young at times, but I'm not as young as I was 20 years ago. that no matter how young or how old you are, that can just do not lose heart of what really matters, and that's keeping God number one. But as Paul talks about his inner man being renewed day by day, and how do we get renewed day by day? Praying is probably one of the biggest things. Praying and reading scripture, fellowshipping with others, that you make sure you have yourself filled up, or else when an opposition does come, or you're asked to defend Christianity, defend what you believe, it can be very hard and painful. And as they didn't have the scriptures written like we do nowadays, where you can just pull it off on your phone, or growing up it was easy. I had memorized over 400 scriptures. If you ask me what they were today, I probably couldn't tell you, because my mind has not what it used to be either. But as Paul talks about the inner man being renewed day by day, and this is a sense that for a deepening spirituality, for those that walk with the Lord day by day, and people will know that. Many people I talk to online, they know who I am and what I believe and stand for. And it's brought some very neat people in my life that I'm able to call friends and brothers and sisters of Christ, and just new people that just sharing Christ with whoever's there and being open. But as we continue going on this next chapter, Paul says, this scripture's not on the screen, nor we're not covering it, but one thing that he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And it's at that moment you realize that you needed a Savior at one point in time and have made that turnaround. Going back to that clay pot, when we're formed and stuff, it takes time to mature and grow. As you get older, you learn more things. And there may be some cracks in the pot along the way, but it's not broken. It's repairable. That as you kind of find your way with Jesus, find your own personal path on how you get there. But this world is only temporal in nature, in affliction, that we as a body are the church where we go. We can BJ had mentioned a few weeks ago, I think it was a few weeks ago, about maybe doing something like an online, not online Bible study, but a Bible study, bringing friends into your home, because not everyone will necessarily come to church like we have people today. If you definitely have people you can connect with and just kind of discuss and have no game plan, just kind of read the scripture and maybe something will come out. If he hasn't mentioned that, it's a very neat tool. I was actually going to do that with the people I meet online and stuff. So there's a different connection, because that's one thing that they ask also is like, when are you going to do another Bible study or something like that? I was like, let me get my things straight here. But opportunities will kind of help them open up as you find people that maybe want to learn the same thing that you do. Open them into your home. Ask those tough questions. It's definitely not easy. But this Christian life has never been easy. As verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, like just this moment, we may be afflicted for a little while, but guess what? It's not eternal. This is not going to be the end result. Let's keep pursuing the things of God, because we have the eternal weight of glory, and so that we can pursue. Now, Paul contrasts the temporary nature of this affliction, because it is temporary. Which he characterizes as light, the eternal nature of the exceeding glory that he has begun to experience, which he expects to continue experience through the life and the life to come. Now, of course, don't miss the play on words like light, because afflictions are never light. I mean, there's different forms of afflictions that could come your way. Just continue to be strong. Continue to share Christ with others. And now, while we don't look at the things that which are seen, but while the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And it's what we see, what we know through the knowledge of the scripture, that God is coming back for us. We just got to prepare ourselves, prepare our friends. One day we will meet up with those like Tom Green, Billy Green, and many others out there that we have seen personally make that commitment to Christ. Now, those are two contrasts that are related, which are the seen as temporal and eternal. As I had mentioned, temporal only happens for a little while the eternal is long term. Now, God has led me that I no longer wonder if God will be faithful, because he has already proven himself. And that this is, now, the younger you are, you're like, you think you're unstoppable, you think you're indestructible. How many remember your teenage years where, nothing will hurt me. I can do just about anything. But they don't really see necessarily the whole picture versus the unseen. They see what's right. They see kind of what they want to see, what's right in front of them. That it only lasts. But to them, that's their eternal. But what we see is a whole picture as the eternal. And they know much of their lives yet have to be unfolded. For them, the ratio of seeing, which is very little versus very much, leaves them, we all tend to be anxious at times. And however, some young people are blessed to see the future through their eyes of faith, as we also hold true of Paul, which their faith removes anxiety because it gives them the assurance of things hoped for and proof of things not seen. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 talks about, For we know that the earthly house of our tent is dissolved. We have a building from God, a house not made by hands, but eternal in the heavens. Now, this is just one of the little things that has a little poetic touch that are clean in the original language that can't usually be carried over in the English translation. And for the Jews, the word tent means skenos, which would bring the mind of the tabernacle. The tent has served as God's dwelling place in Israel in the midst that they wandered in the wilderness. Now, this will be very true for Paul, of course, in contrast to the tent, which, or as a building, but an allusion to the temple, which served God's dwelling place in Jerusalem once the Israelites settled in the Promised Land. How many of y'all have ever seen Survivor? Have y'all? Manny and I have been on a Survivor kick. I think we're on 22 or 23. Watched it on Amazon. And a lot of what they do in Survivor actually, this scripture kind of unfolds because they are, and we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school class this morning. What in 52 days? What can you actually live without? Can you live without sugar for 52 days? Can you live without water for 52 days? I don't think we would be able to do very well if we couldn't live without water for 52 days. And just certain things. Now, water and food, primary sources. Without those two, our bodies will kind of deteriorate. And as we've seen in the movie, or not movie, in the TV show Survivor, that basically they're forced to kind of they don't have anything but very little supplies, and they just found these strangers that are there, so they got to kind of readapt and kind of make a new dwelling place for all 10, 15, however many are there together. But if you've ever lived in a tent for an extended period of time, how many of y'all have ever been camping in a tent, per se? All right, so a few of you have been camping. Have you been camping in, like, RVs and stuff? Which would you prefer sometimes? Whoops. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer a tent or an RV? RV. Yeah, most of us would probably prefer the RV because it has our home practically on wheels at our campsite. Whereas a tent, you kind of got to find your own supplies, build your own fire, and sometimes hunt for food, depends on where you are, because you can't really store it anywhere either. So, unless you have lots of s'mores, you can easily throw those on the campfire. But the RV is like our comfortable life. We're still camping, we're out there, but we brought our home life with us too. Whereas a tent kind of gets you out of your comfort zone, and you have to actually go and do some things, unless your body's going to deteriorate itself if you don't go out and do some hunting, maybe. I've never been a hunter, but I have been camping a few times. So if it's to find something, I probably wouldn't do a good job at that either. But or even as secure, tents can be an adventure for a weekend. Wouldn't you say maybe a couple days in a tent would be, even out in your backyard? But in Survivor particularly, now they don't really have a tent. They have these bamboo-type shelter, which is already uncomfortable if you're not used to sleeping on bamboo. Then going out and hunting for food, boiling water, because you never know what's going to be in the water, so you don't want to... Well, you have to drink something, but at the same time, you got to kill the bad bacteria and all that that's out there. But yeah, maybe for a weekend, a tent would be fine. But living it long term, I was even talking to man. I was like, wouldn't it be nice if I tried out for Survivor one day? Now, this is not like I have any intentions, but I thought the idea would be nice. I don't know how long I would actually make it out there. I have gone on a 3-day fast before, but 39 days is a long time for anybody to be out there. To your mind can play tricks on you. And so, as we get back into to finishing up here, that Paul contrasts our tent, our natural bodies, with that of a house, which is our spiritual bodies. And so our spiritual bodies need proper nutrition as well. And whereas our outward self is very temporal. And so that awaits us in the heavenly kingdom. Now, of course, contrast is like a comparison before, because there is no comparison. At some point, we will die, and our loved ones will bury or cremate our natural bodies. But in the resurrection, we will receive new bodies, related somehow to our old bodies, but different somehow as well. And this scripture answers many questions, but also leaves many mysteries behind too. How does Paul know when our earthly house is dissolved? Well, God will give us more of a substantial building. We can only guess later in this book here that he will speak about a man who is caught up into the third heaven, paradise, where he heard the unspeakable words. And of course, many scholars will believe that Paul was speaking of his own experience, or perhaps he got a glimpse of the glory yet to come in that place, or perhaps the Lord revealed these things to him in some way or the other. At any rate, there is no question that Paul is confident in the things of which he speaks. He has bet his life on them. And of course, that is our scripture thought for today. So at this time we'll just have, it's almost like I don't know how to end it. So we'll have Pete come and lead us in our final song, and then I'll have the benediction.